Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. The show is brought to you by our generous patrons at patreon.com/falloutlorecast.
Robots Radio presents
the Fallout Lorecast.
Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, a place for the Fallout community to come together to explore the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout.
You see, the White Glove Society remains the very picture of courtesy, even in the face of such impolite accusations. We have nothing to hide here.
Welcome back, Vault Dwellers and Wastelanders and ghouls and all sorts of survivors and robots and synths and anybody else in the Wasteland. You know what? I haven't been welcoming all of our potential friends, and that's my fault.
We're not very inclusive.
I need to be more inclusive about everybody in the Wasteland and Raiders. I mean, Raiders might be listening to our podcast as well. Even people who are, dare I say it, part of the Enclave. Welcome to our show. You are part of the Wasteland as well. I shouldn't discriminate. And here we are again. I am your host, Tomer Robots, and I am here with my co-host, my wonderful co-host, Lainey Neos Pandora. Welcome back. How are you doing, Lainey?
Hello, hello. I'm all right. Sniffly yeah. Today, apparently.
Sniffly, yeah. Sometimes we have...
There it is. You try to avoid the sniffs the rest of the show. You get one sniff. There it was. Go back and enjoy it.
Yeah, sometimes you wake up with the sniffs, you know, and I don't know, maybe you got the fall sniffles. It's fall. The weather isn't as hot out, which is nice. Things are turning, and I've got some exciting news for us with the weather getting cooler and with the advent of Spooptober on the horizon. We're going to have a very special guest coming up in 2 weeks. We have Jessica Starr from internet fame. She does all sorts of stuff in the Fallout community, but she's going to be joining us in a few weeks to talk about the most disturbing things in Fallout. And this is going to be super exciting. So that's coming up in a few weeks. So stay tuned for that. But this week we are wrapping up our casinos in New Vegas, at least the ones on the Strip, with a discussion of the White Glove Society and the Ultra Lux Casino. We've talked about some of the other casinos on the Strip, and this time we're going to talk about, I think this might be one of my favorites. What do you think, Lainey?
I mean, it's definitely a spicy one.
A spicy one. A spicy meatball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you like those spicy meatballs?
I do.
Cool.
You like some apples?
how about them apples? I usually don't have the apples and the meatballs together, but
oh yeah. Wait, maybe you should like saute them together? Maybe the apples would bring out something special in the meatballs.
I don't know about that. That sounds
it's like putting apples in your curry makes it a little sweet while it's also spicy.
I haven't it's heard of that, but good. Okay. I'll have to try that. Maybe we should ask some of the chefs over at the White Glove Society if what they would do with that. I have a feeling some of them would add other ingredients that you and I may not be so happy about.
Yeah.
But why don't we get into this? So who are the White Glove Society?
So these are some more ex-raiders, I suppose, that were transformed into these beautiful people. These beautiful people. They're like
these beautiful people. Together. Yeah, I like how in the notes here you have the word reconditioned, as if they were like components in a computer that were like reconditioned in order to be reused again in a different way by Robert House.
They had to be completely reconditioned. That's what it is. You know, you have to turn these people into a completely different group.
Yes. Right.
And what's interesting about these guys is that, like, unlike the other groups that we have, right, where we talk about how the Omertas were like the Slytherin back in the day and stuff like that, we don't have that for these guys because they are so concerned with suppressing their past that they do not want you to even know who they were. Because back in the day, they were notorious in the Wasteland. This group was notorious for kidnapping and eating people.
Eating people.
People.
Like Soylent Green is people.
Yeah, but like straight up, om nom nom flesh. Delicious.
Is it?
I don't know. Well, I'm talking for them.
Oh, they're
not a cannibal.
Okay, so they thought it was okay. So Robert House was like, okay, you raider guys who eat people, you're cool. Come on over. We're gonna hang out, and I'm gonna give you.
I think it was more like a, you're not cool. Let me fix you or kill you. Those are the options.
Oh, okay. Okay, so stop eating people. You guys cool with that? All right, here's the Ultra Lux.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. All right. So he worked out a deal with them and was like, all right, you stop eating people. You can move into the Ultra Lux. You're gonna run this place for me. You're gonna chill out. No more eating people. Let's be cool about this. Stop dressing like these crazy raiders. Put on some fancy clothes. Be high society, because they are high society. They're very fancy.
They're very fancy.
They're kind of the fanciest, right?
They were like suits and ties.
They're like super fancy though. They're like super.
Well, they're ultra lux.
Yeah, I mean, but they're like super fancy, like white and black, like super fancy, like tuxedos and fancy dresses, and a lot of them even wear masks, and mm-hmm. and in fact there's even rumors that like they used to be an all ghoul gang, and so they wore masks in order to cover their faces, but that isn't actually true. It's just part of the whole high society thing, you know, them doing the whole like a fancy mask covering thing that
it's the mystery.
It's the mystery of it, right?
Yeah.
So but they did eat people.
This was a thing, and they arranged with Mr. House that under the conditions that they're working in, he wouldn't even, you know, reveal that to people. So the goal here is to completely erase this past. At least that's the goal for some people involved.
But that was the original agreed upon.
Yeah. Thing. So, right. When House hired them, they denounced cannibalism. They formed the White Glove Society. They fixed up the casino and the hotel, right? The Ultra Lux. And they just became these totally other people, right? You don't see them. It's kind of like the other casinos as well. You don't see them outside of their uniforms, right?
Right.
They are fancy people forever now.
They are cleaned up.
They have canes.
Right. And we do know who they used to be, though. We do know the original name of the gang here.
We do?
Yep. And they originally named the Sawneys.
Oh, no, but this is... No. This is what they originally named in game development.
Right. But in the actual game itself...
That's not the name of the Raider tribe. Yeah. Right. To specify.
Right. But in development, they would have been named the Sawneys, but yet that was never actually in the game.
Yeah, it never
actually made it into the game. Right. Which is kind of cool, because it's almost like even in the game development, that was erased.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a meta established thing that the name of the gang was erased completely from the game altogether. Like, had this been revealed in the game, they probably would have been not known as the Sawneys, but it wasn't. Like, you can't find it in the game, right? It was in development. This is what they would have been named, but it was completely erased from the game. You can't find that name in the game. We don't know what the name of their tribe was. It was erased. We actually, quote unquote, don't know. But it probably would have been the Sawneys.
Yeah, I can imagine it's probably frustrating for some people to find out that lore that they would want to know, I guess, is just totally inaccessible. But I think, like you're saying, it does a great thing for the story, where truly there's no way to know, you know. Mm-hmm. It really ups that mystery that we're talking about, the masks and everything, which is fun.
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the people that are in play here. First off, I think we should talk about Marjorie. Marjorie is the official leader of the White Glove Society, and is in charge of the restaurant. And generally, that's what keeps her on top, right? It's like she is the manager of the restaurant, and the restaurant brings in money. You know, I guess the casino also brings in money. But that's why you have multiple people working together.
Right. Well, oftentimes these casinos and hotels and things are known for things like a very high quality restaurant. Like if you go to Las Vegas, there are restaurants in Las Vegas that are known for being like some of the highest quality restaurants in the country. Like they are these extremely well-known locations that you would go to specifically for the restaurant. So this restaurant is called The Gourmand, and this is when the quote at the beginning of the show was from Marjorie, and this is another quote from her. And again, this is what she sounds like. I know our reputation. Oh, hold on. Let me replay this with actually having the sound up. Here we go.
It's been spotless, but that's all in the past now.
Let me restart that. Sorry.
I know our reputation hasn't always been spotless, but that's all in the past now.
And I think that sums up kind of her personality, her take on things, right?
Yeah, it's her whole thing. She's totally on board with the reconditioning, if you will, and is happy to run a non-cannibal restaurant.
Right, and she's trying to stick with the agreement with Mr. House. Like she wants to stick with it. She wants to go in the future direction. She's saying, okay, we are no longer who we used to be, whoever that was, and we are now the White Glove Society. We are now going to stick with our agreement and move forward. This is who we are. This is how I run our restaurant, and the past is the past. The future is the future. This is who we are now.
Right. Well, and she's in charge of everybody. So it's real easy to, you know, if you have a good leader that is trying to make the situation work and to move people away from cannibalism, then it makes it easier to do things like move away from cannibalism. But if you start bringing other people into play, that maybe tip the desk furniture chair.
When,
yeah, you know, when they tip the chair a little bit.
Tip over the lounger.
It can be hard to avoid cannibalism, I assume, when suddenly it is around you again. I guess I consider cannibalism to be like an addiction in this context.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just like food, you know, like if you're into like ice cream and you decide, you know, I'm not going to eat ice cream anymore. And you go for like months and months without eating ice cream. And then all of a sudden you go to a birthday party and somebody's serving ice cream. And then you're like, oh, my God, I haven't had ice cream in months. That looks so good. It's probably something like that, right? You're like, I remember that.
Human flesh is a lot grosser than ice cream.
Unless you really like it.
Unless you really like it, yeah.
I don't know. I've never tried human flesh.
I wonder if they like ice cream or not. Maybe you could make like human fat ice
cream. Oh, God. Okay. But there is somebody else at play here that is, of course, the counter to Marjorie, and that is Mortimer.
Right. Okay. So Mortimer is the hotel manager, and you can meet him at the front desk. Mortimer, obviously, what we've been alluding to is the player here that comes in and wants to mix things up, or I guess take things back to how they were. He definitely wants to bring cannibalism back into the casino.
Right.
And not become something else entirely, not go back to being raiders, just turn their current situation into something a little more dark.
he's got a taste for that long pig. And he wants to serve it back up again. And this is, I think this sums him up pretty well.
For our society to be truly elite, we must dine on the most delicious, the most exclusive food known to us.
Yeah.
The long pig.
Yeah, the long pig. Have you ever heard that phrase? The long pig?
No.
Yes. It's a phrase. Also, he says things like this.
There is a meat sweeter than the most corn-fed livestock. Most of you have tasted it. All of you have coveted it.
And this is another good quote from him as well.
You're all hypocrites. How can you claim to be connoisseurs yet deny yourselves the greatest of all meats?
So, yeah, the greatest of all meats. He's got a taste for that long pig, friends.
Man.
Yeah. Gross.
Yeah, you know what? I do not have that.
That. Yeah, no,
couldn't be me.
Nope. So that's kind of the dilemma you get into here. And this, of course, plays out in the quest lines and things. But let's talk about the outfits and the technology that you come across here. And I love in playing through New Vegas. I think that this is one of the most interesting locations to enter into, because of course when you're in the wasteland, the juxtaposition here is that for the majority of the game up until this point, even when you go into some of these other casinos, and the other casinos are a little bit fixed up, and in the situations that you're in, you're most of the time walking into these very dirty, run-down locations, and some of the locations are revamped a bit. They're kind of rebuilt. But for the most part, you don't find locations that look particularly nice. And most of the places you're in don't look like anything that you would see in a like high-end location today. And this is probably the location that looks the most like a location that you would come across in today's society. So yeah, so I find it interesting that this location is one of the most formal and actually cleaned up locations of all the places. And yet it's also very, very dark. The idea of cannibalism being one of the most, one of the worst transgressions, not only killing people, but eating them seems to be
more
very
in their case,
dark.
I feel like, cannibalism is one of those things where there are people in the world that want to be eaten, and there are people in the world that want to eat. But what these guys are doing when they kidnap people is, I think, where the real issue is. I think also probably you shouldn't be eating people in general. Mm-hmm. Let me make that very clear. But there are people who want to be eaten. I think that maybe in a consensual setting, you can like come to an arrangement, yes, at least in Fallout, where it's real dark, right? That's the kind of thing that people might have a conversation about in this world.
Right. Well, and one of the things that you come across in the quest lines is that it's not just people. It's not just like other consenting adults. It's like children being abducted, which is on top of that, even worse, you know, like, yeah, this whole storyline gets really, really dark. So, but let's talk about some of the outfits and things you have here in the notes, that they wear formal wear and society attire. They have very specific garb that they wear. And most of them, of course, wear masks, and they even have dress canes. This is the kind of clothing that you would have seen in like 1930s, 1940s formal wear during like the Hollywood heyday, that old timey Hollywood movie attire. Right?
Yeah, it's very much classic Hollywood. I think that it's fun that the dress cane, they're armed with the dress cane. This is their weapon.
Yeah.
They're going to bonk you with it.
They're going to bonk you with it. What else? What other weapons do they have?
They don't really have other ones, except there are two flamers being used in the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
That I guess are attainable if you go in there, but that's about it. And I think they will use them if you start fighting in the kitchen.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Whoever's manning the flamers will use them against you. But other than that, you just have canes. So.
Yeah, I always try to be sneaky and go about my ways without having to fight everybody through here. But there were situations where things would go wrong and I would have to fight through this. And yeah, I would run into people setting me on fire in the kitchen. That was definitely something I would end up having to deal with.
Yeah, well, it's funny. It feels like smooth sailing when, you know, all your opponents are using melee weapons and you have a gun, maybe, if you can get a gun in there, right? But then to make it to the kitchen and just get blasted.
I blasted them. Yeah. So you have another thing here in the note. It says, when walking by a white glove, one may remark, "You mustn't ask why we wear our masks. We are forbidden to speak of it."
Yeah, so this is regarding what you were saying at the beginning about them being speculated to be an all-ghoul gang.
And they don't like talking about it either. They're just like, no. we don't talk about things. They're very secretive, which I think is also fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that there isn't a whole lot of actual information about who these guys are, who they were, you know. I think it's growing on me. I thought it was kind of weird when I was thinking about it before taking these notes, but the mystery is really amping things up. I like that. I don't know. I like that they somehow, I guess it makes sense. They see themselves as better than most of the other people in the wasteland, and especially on the strip. Mm-hmm. And this is because they only dine on the finest foods, and they wear such fancy clothes and have such a fancy place, right? They must be the fanciest. And then I was like, oh, but cannibalism, that doesn't seem to fit here. But the way that Mortimer talks about eating humans is as if it's this luxury, right?
Yeah, well, it's a secret. They understand that the thing that they know about cannibalism, the thing that they partake in, is a very it's a minority thing. It's something that most people won't understand. And so to justify it to themselves, they see it as a heightened thing that that they just can't justify to other people because they just don't understand. It's this is a common psychological thing. It's one of those things a lot of people do when they feel like other people are going to look down on them for something. They, instead of going back and saying, okay, other people are right, I'm wrong, I'm going to stop doing that, instead they flip it and they say, well, other people are wrong, this thing is actually better and they don't understand it.
Yeah, you just romanticize whatever it is.
Right. I'm so in the right.
Intensely.
This is better than this. They're not good enough to understand this. Therefore, I'm in the right. I am part of this exclusive group and they are part of this outlier. And this happens in society a lot. This idea that, like, I have this secret knowledge about what is actually going on in medicine and all of the doctors are wrong, you know, like that kind of thing. This happens a lot in our society, and it's a psychological thing that humans do. And it actually can be very dangerous and can justify things like cannibalism. So it's funny that this episode went that direction, but it did. So there you go. but this group is really interesting. I always felt kind of odd I had this dilemma in, like, part of me wanted to just attack them and destroy them. But then part of me felt like not all of them are bad because, so, like, people like Marjorie seem to have let go of their ways and want to just be normal, good people running a casino. You know, like, they just want to serve up actual real food. They don't want to abduct children. She just wants to run a business and serve actual good food to people. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, like, there's no bad anything there.
God, imagine running a business and people are kidnapping and eating people in your establishment behind your back.
Right. Like, this is a tricky situation because, yeah, she might have to atone for past sins, but she's not committing them now. Does that mean that I can just run through the whole place and murder everybody? Like, that doesn't, you know, what about people who have joined this establishment to work for her that were never part of the original gang and have never partaken in any of this bad stuff? Like, this is a dilemma I find difficult to deal with in today's society. Like, you have, for example, the issues going on with Activision Blizzard. Let's talk video games. Activision Blizzard has been accused of mishandling the way that they've managed employees and dealing with some of the issues going on with employees feeling abused and what's the right words?
Just mistreated.
A lot of the women in the company feel like they've been, you know, words are not falling, working in my head today. but, you know, a lot of those kinds of issues, right? And this goes all the way up to the top, you know, like, obviously the management and the CEOs of the company and people like that have to take responsibility for these things because that kind of stuff comes down from the top. But there's a lot of employees who also had nothing to do with that. So if you boycott the entire company, then those employees also don't make money. Not all of those employees should have to be, you know, like, how do you deal with that? You know, like, Diablo 2 came out. Do I go not buy it because I don't want the company to make money because they need to learn their lesson? And so the CEOs need to learn their lesson. So, or do I, like, it's a difficult situation, right? the majority of the company were actually the people who were damaged by it. So by boycotting the company, am I just damaging them more?
Right. Yeah. Is the company the people in charge, or is the company everyone? Right.
Right. Like the If 80% of the company are the people who were actually hurt by the decisions of the people in leadership, then is boycotting them the right answer? I don't know. Probably not. If the company were to lose enough money this year that the majority of the workers had to go find other jobs, is that good for them or is that bad for them? It might be good in that they have to go find another job and they end up working for a better company. But what if a lot of them can't find jobs and then they can't pay their mortgages and feed their families? That's ultimately a bad thing. Am I the right person to be even making that decision? Should I just be going about my life regularly and just voicing my, you know, distaste for the things that the people are doing and hoping that legal decisions are made and that the law takes care of it because this is a legal issue? You know, like these kinds of dilemmas are very intricate and it's tough to make these decisions.
When you start bringing into the real world and you start bringing money into it, and I mean, you have to think also that the CEOs of the company are going to be making the most.
Right.
And so when you're giving the company money, right, like it's going to everyone, kind of.
Right.
But it is also going to the top a lot. It's just, it's so much
the largest
more convoluted
chunk goes
just
to the top. Right. But it also gets distributed to everybody else too. Yeah. It's a very difficult issue, but anyway, it's just something to be thinking about. Like, how do you not damage everyone? How do you like, what are the right choices to make here? It's
Fallout,
tricky.
Right? Cannibalism is a crazy kind of example of this, but what they're doing is always representing actual real world issues that we have.
Sure.
In this case, you know, they're using cannibalism as the metaphor, but it's the same kind of thing. Absolutely.
Kidnapping of children, doing things to people against their will, you know, like all of these things are all metaphors for actual real world things, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that's like Sage in chat says, it's good adding the gray area here, the depth mm-hmm. of the story, the dilemma, the being a rock in a hard place. Like that's where these stories work really, really well. So, all right, well, we've got to get to the mid show.
Also, hang on.
One more thing. All right, cool. Go for it.
I was just thinking about Marjorie and Mortimer, and Marjorie, right? She's the manager for the restaurant. And so Mortimer wants to be the cannibal, but he doesn't have direct control over what people are eating inside the casino. I think they did a great job setting it up like that in terms of, you know, it's like a checks and balances thing where, Mortimer, they create this character that's really a problem. he's a nuisance in this situation, but he's in a situation where he can't really have all the power here.
Right.
Unless you let him.
Yeah, he's vying to influence her position without being able to be the person that's in that position. Yeah. So it creates a dilemma. Yeah. All right. Well, we've got to go thank our patrons and talk about what's coming up for our patron chat at the end of the month, which is actually just a few days away because it's going to be on Thursday night. So this is coming up real soon. And then we're going to talk about the layout of the casino, which is always fun to talk about. So we'll be right back.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest still eager to serve.
My name is Brian Burton. It's been 26 years since the bombs fell. And since I've left the vault, I've been trying to rebuild. But this isn't the Appalachia that I remember. There's so much more to everything going on. And I promise to find the answer. So if you're out there, if you're listening, just hone in on these coordinates. Remember, there's a place for you at the end. Omega.
The Omega Broadcast Fallout Story is available on iTunes, Spotify, and many great podcasting sources.
All right. So thank you to all of our patrons. You guys are absolutely amazing. And just a reminder, we do have new merch for the patrons, and these designs will be out for you guys. They've already been up for a few weeks here. It means we're already a month closer to them being delivered to you guys after you have been a patron for 3 months consecutively at the right tiers. So that means starting at tier 3 for stickers and tier 4 and higher for t-shirts, then you get a one of these things, and they'll be sent out to you guys. So make sure, if you are a patron, make sure that your shipping information for your patron account is updated and that it is included, so that these things get shipped out to you. They get shipped out automatically through Patreon. So make sure that all stuff is all set up. And if you haven't seen these yet, go to patreon.com/falloutlorecast and check out the designs. I think you guys are going to love them. The first one is the Brotherhood of Steel symbol, and it is inlaid with a really cool looking steel texture that looks like all weathered and detailed. And it's on a t-shirt and stickers. I think you guys are going to love this. And we have to thank Jared B. Jared, thank you so much for being our Liberty Prime top tier, tier 6 patron. He's still in that top slot. Thank you so much, Jared B. You are an amazing supporter of the show. We really, really do appreciate it. And then also to our tier 5 Southern Rage and Stagger and Stumble, thank you so much for supporting the show as well. And all of our other patrons, all 46 of you currently, thank you for being here. You guys are amazing. And we've got a bunch of Assaultrons tier 4 members, also tier 5 and tier 6 members, who can join us in just a few days. Because on Tuesday night, on the 28th, we will have our patron episode. And let's talk about what we're going to talk about. I was considering doing some sort of like game show thing. So let me know if you guys think that'll be fun. Maybe dividing you guys up and doing a fun little game show. And maybe not a lore quiz show, maybe more of a like comparative thing. Like I was thinking about taking maybe some of the quest names, the names of quests, and comparing them to like something else. Like some of them are song titles, for example, in New Vegas, and saying like, is this a New Vegas quest line, or is this a song title that doesn't show up as a New Vegas quest line, and doing things like that, and saying like, which one is it? And then maybe splitting everyone up into teams and seeing which team wins, like that kind of thing. So let me know if you think that's a fun idea, and we'll see what we have going. So Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. So that would be 6 p.m. Pacific, I believe. And we'll see you guys on Tuesday. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, let's talk about the layout of the casino, Lainey. So, of course, there's the lobby when you walk in. Let's take a little tour. You walk into the Ultralux. You've got the lobby.
Well, let me preface with something else that I forgot to touch on in the last bit. Yeah. Just in terms of like player interaction, I had two notes here.
Okay.
One of them being, and it feels like a given, if you are a cannibal in the game, you are able to interact with them in ways that non-cannibal characters or players can't. And it just makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But also, this is the only group on the strip that you can have any reputation with, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Which is super interesting, I think.
Yeah, I wonder if this was like a limitation of development, because this game was a bit rushed out. For as much as in this game, which is amazing, they only had a very short period of time to get this game out. And it's the scope of the game is very large. They had a lot of goals that they had to kind of put on the back burner. So I have to wonder if they got this part done for this gang, for this group, this casino, and they just weren't able to get the other ones finished.
Yeah, I wonder, because it doesn't, you know, it's kind of strange given that there is interaction with other groups and there are quests that you can do and obvious kind of moral dilemmas going on with the different groups. And this to be the only one that you really have any impact on.
Yeah, and yet no reputation.
Or that they have any impact on you, or, you know, in whatever way.
Right. Good question. All right, so let's walk into the lobby in the casino. What does this area contain?
Yeah. So this area, the lobby and casino area, contains lobby and casino. How crazy. That's the sentence I have on here. So, first off, let's start from the fun part. There's a bar. This is called the Top Shelf. It's called the Top Shelf because it is the most exquisite and expensive liquor you could ever ask for. It's top shelf liquor, but all of it, even the bottom shelf, is top shelf at the top shelf. Am I selling it to you?
there's only one shelf at the top shelf. It's just one big long shelf.
One big long shelf.
I like your note here. The drinks are overpriced, but that's the point.
But that's the point. I stole that from what I was reading, because it's so funny to me. Everything there is like that, right? They're dressed the way they're dressed because it's pretentious, and the alcohol is expensive because they're pretentious, and the cannibals because they're pretentious. That's just what it feels like the whole way through. So this is in the casino area, and this is where you enter in. You see the casino, you see the bar. If you want to go to the hotel, you can run into Mortimer and start engaging with some cannibalism, perhaps. or I guess maybe not yourself engaging in it, but over time you reveal some terrible things. And the door to the cashier has an average lock. And if you want to get in there, and in the area, there's a whole lot of weapons and some other loot, lots of caps, stuff like that in this area. And so it's good to stop by with Mortimer and like check in, maybe take his things. Mm-hmm. And then next up, what do we have next?
Next up, I guess we could walk into the kitchen.
Yeah.
So what do we find in the kitchen?
Yeah, so the basement kitchens of the Ultralux are accessible from the members only area. And this door is unlocked. And it leads to the Gourmand, which has an easy lock. So this area is pretty accessible. And if they're not mad at you, they won't try to shoot you with flamers.
Right. They don't go from cooking everything with these flamers to cooking you with the flamers.
Yeah. If they're not upset with you. They sure would like to, though.
Right.
And then the basement itself consists of a number of rooms, including Felipe's actual kitchen. Felipe is the chef in the Gourmand.
Felipe.
And so this, I mean, it has traditional kitchen things like a kitchen, you know?
A kitchen has kitchen things like a kitchen.
And, well, you gotta think like the counter. I consider that the kitchen. But then you also have things like the pantry, right? Would you consider the pantry?
Yeah, the kitchen? I guess. I mean, some pantries are like big enough to be their own rooms. So sure.
I don't know. It's like a closet sometimes. You know, it's like its own little spot.
Courier in chat says it's funny to make him mad.
But yeah, you get normal kitchen things like like kitchen appliances, a pantry, a dude locked in a freezer, an elevator.
Gunderson. Yeah.
Ted Gunderson. He's the son of a well-known Brahmin baron or something.
Poor Ted. Yeah. Oh.
Poor Ted.
Uh-huh. This is where you find him. Spoilers. Spoilers on a 10-year-old game at this point. Yeah.
Spoilers, cannibalism. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, well, and there's a wine room as well where they keep their obvious top
fancy,
shelf
fancy wines.
Wines, they're fancy wines. So yeah. So and then, you know, if you want to walk around the basement, right? The kitchen's in the basement, but there's some other areas, and it's all pretty much patrolled. So if you're trying to go through here and you make everyone angry, they will try to bonk you with their canes.
I love how you watch say out. Bonk you. Like it's like it makes it sound even more like a video game. Like they're just like bonk, and there's like little lines that come out from your head when you get hit. And you're like, oh, my head.
There was this trend going around maybe 2 years ago now where it was like a filter that you could use. And it was just the bonk filter. And it was all of a sudden your face was squished and there was a cane on your head and it just said bonk. It's like you're talking and all of a sudden bonk. It's good. Bonk. It's good.
Look okay. Up. All right.
That's what I think of when I think about getting whacked with a cane. Bonk. Bonk. That's it.
They just bonk you with the cane.
They just bonk you. So yeah. So don't get bonked. The guys with the flamers are basically just at the bottom of the stairs here. And so if you go in and you do not realize that they're flamers, like be educated.
Yes.
You know, scope the area out because you'll get blasted.
Yeah, you get blasted. Yes.
Like so yeah.
Danny DeVito.
So yeah, and they
I blasted him.
And well, here's another factor that we didn't really touch on is that you can become a member of the White Glove Society. And in order to do this, you have to have a sponsor. And basically all that means is that you have to have someone that really likes you to kind of bring you in. It's like, you know, there's lots of things in the world that kind of function like that. Are sororities like that? I feel like maybe Greek life.
Sure.
Like those things.
Yes. I wasn't part of a sorority, but I imagine that they could be like that.
My college didn't even have them.
No, yours didn't. No.
But so you can become a member of the society. And in this case, you can walk around all these areas and they don't really care so much. But if you are sneaking around them and you're unable to pass a speech or repair check, they will beat you up. So watch out.
They'll bonk you. Yep. All right.
They'll bonk you.
So let's talk about the Gourmand restaurant.
Yeah. So the Gourmand is famous for its incredible ramen Wellington. And it always has a long wait list, right? It's like when you go to like a Disney restaurant and you're like, I'm going to get there. And there's totally me tables. And they're like, nope, there's no seating for 5 years.
You're such a Floridian. Your reference to this is the Disney restaurants. That's funny.
Okay. There's nowhere else that's more like upsetting to be where suddenly like you're hungry and you can't sit down, you know?
Disney restaurant.
At Disney, you're hungry, your whole family's there, everyone's tired, and then you go and they're like, nope, reservations only, always.
Okay, got it.
that's real stuff. In case any of you have never been to any Disney type place, that's how it is. You go in and they do not want you to eat their food. Mm-hmm. It's like they want you to leave. No, I'm kidding. They just have an insane wait list.
Right. Big wait list, super popular, lots of people coming from all over the wasteland. And then there's also a members only area in the Ultralux.
There is.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, about what you'd expect from a members only area. You get places to sit, places to eat, places to get dressed.
Large dining room and a prep room. A reception area, a closet, and a 10 to 12 members of the White Glove Society hang out in here, some of which are armed with dress canes to bonk you and are described as bouncers. So they're very fancy bouncers with bonk canes. We should just call them bonk canes, right?
Bonk canes. And they're eager to bonk you because that's their job. They keep out the people that are not members of the White Glove Society. And so these guys, before anyone else, if you try to enter this area, they will bonk you for sure.
Right. And you're not supposed to be in here unless you've been inducted as an honorary member by Marjorie herself and have been given a key to this room. So, so otherwise, stay out.
It's pretty easy.
Or you're going to get bonked.
Well, I don't know about easy. But Marjorie, if you tend to side with the non-cannibals, it is likely that you will end up with access to this room.
Yeah, because that's Marjorie's side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She likes you. You're basically part of the society. You're good. There's also a bathhouse.
Yeah. So,
and this is it's an indoor pool, right? Real fancy. It has a steam room where the player character can meet the investigator's contact during the Beyond the Beef quest. And this is the quest where Ted Gunderson is kidnapped and you're trying to figure out what's going on. And it just opens up more and more cannibalism and it's like real dark. So you can go to the bathhouse to have a nice bath, you know, get a little steamy, talk about
a drink.
Things. Or a drink. Yeah, well, I mean, it's Fallout. You can drink pretty much any water from anything. But if you really, really want to drink bath water, that good, it's not even gamer girl bath water. It's just
gamer girl. Like, right. And no rads, though. This is like non-radiated water. This is clean water.
Yeah, well, except
it's people
full of people
bathed in it. So it's people flavored non-radiated water.
I'm really afraid of consuming people matter. I guess it's different when you're cooking a person.
This is basically people soup.
Good soup.
So you could drink people soup, and it's considered theft because I guess it's technically soup. You're stealing people soup, but you get no karma loss. And it doesn't make anyone hostile. So they're okay with you stealing people soup. You get no radiation.
It's just weird. They say it's stealing so that you feel a little guilty and weird about it.
Right. And technically, the salt in the bath is imported from California. Only the finest Californian salt. So it's a salted bath. It is definitely people soup.
It's absolutely people soup. Whoa.
Yeah, people
soup. That's a human broth.
Yeah, sure. That is human broth. It is a salty human broth.
That's so nasty. How often do you think that they like switch out the water?
Never.
Right?
They just keep adding more salt.
There's more salt. It's just all salt. Just collects at the bottom. The salt like turns like gray and dark.
Don't kick up the muck on the bottom.
You don't want to look down.
Don't look down. Oh, okay. And then there's the penthouse suite. So once you've had enough of that people soup, you can go lay down in the penthouse suite, right?
Yeah. So guess who's staying up here?
Only the fanciest of our Brahmin herders.
Yes, only the fanciest. Homeboy's missing his son. He goes straight to the right place.
Mr. Gunderson. Mr. Gunderson Heck. Staying up in their room.
Yeah, his name's Heck.
Heck. Yeah, that's right. His name is Heck. That's such a good name.
Yeah.
My name's Heck Gunderson. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So, yeah, Heck is looking for his son, Ted. Why didn't Heck name his son something else also awesome?
Ted. It's just Ted.
Yeah. I know. It's just Ted. With a name like Heck, you should have named...
It's like Theodore.
I know. Like Heck.
Ted is a nickname.
I don't know. He should have named it something like Shucks or something.
Shucks.
Yeah. Oh, Heck. Well, Shucks.
It could be Heck Gunderson and his son Frick Gunderson.
Frick.
These are good.
Yeah.
So it's not just him, though. He has bodyguards, which is probably wise, seeing as his son got kidnapped. I'm sure I, too, would be a little paranoid.
Yeah, he's upset with the establishment here.
Yeah, he's not having a good time.
Yeah. So there's some details about this. Here, yeah, we I don't know that we should... Let's not spoil this part.
Okay.
There's ways to get into the penthouse. This is part of the whole questline thing. But let's leave at least that part done. And then there's one.
I'll kind of breeze through.
Okay, go ahead.
Just because we talk about access to these rooms, and in order to get into this one, right? Like, obviously the bodyguards are an issue. You'll have to deal with that. Alternatively, there is a key that you can get, and you have to get it from Mortimer.
Right.
So.
Because.
Fun.
Mortimer, there's something going on with Mortimer here, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then if you don't have a key, as long as you have lockpick above 75, you're able to get in. But if you do not have lockpick, what is that? What level lock is that? 75.
That's pretty high.
Is that a hard?
Maybe. It's been a while since I've thought about like what each of those is labeled, but yeah, that's pretty high.
So basically you're not going to end up in this room unless you fight your way in or just follow the quest. Mm-hmm. Like you should just do the quest. Don't ruin it, you know? Sometimes you got to play through the game chronologically. Some people like to just go and dive in and end up in crazy places, and then they mix it all up. I was playing Fallout 3 recently, and I accidentally met people way farther in the game than I intended to. And it just picked up like the middle of the quest. They were asking me things that I had no idea about. I had just started the game.
Oh, yeah. That can definitely happen.
So, yeah, don't do that.
So then there's one other suite.
Yeah. Well, we didn't really talk about what's in that first suite. What do you think is going to be in one of these suites? It's beautiful. The ceiling is the highest of all the different suites in New Vegas.
The penthouse, yeah.
It says in the middle of the suite, there's a shallow pool, which maybe is not human soup. Or maybe it is, and you could take a little sip.
Maybe.
And then to the right is a dining room and a kitchen, and there are not flamers in this kitchen, so you don't have to be that cautious. The bodyguards aren't gonna start flaming you, you know. And then there's an upstairs area with the bedroom that has a bar in it. How fancy. And a bathroom, and a what they could say is a pristine bathtub. And this is a big deal, because those bathtubs in the wasteland are gritty.
These are some old dirty bathtubs for sure.
So for them to have a pristine bathtub, wow. They've got everything here. They've got humans in freezers and human soup and a pristine bathtub. What more could you possibly need?
I can think of a few things, but but I mean, sure.
Okay. What's next? What's our last location?
There's the Bon Vivant suite.
So this suite is one of the ones that you can get for, you know, winning at the casino, which actually I just realized I didn't look into what the other rewards were. Usually they're some kind of liquor and maybe like a weapon or something. I assume it's probably the same case here.
Yeah, usually it's just
looks like that. You can get an atomic cocktail. That's the cheapest one, or a Brahmin Wellington, which is funny because that's what you can get from the restaurant. And then the best one is the sweet key.
Yeah, and check this out. Here's the quote about it.
You are quite simply the talk of the casino right now with your astonishing play. Do stay in our Bon Vivant suite so you may continue to dazzle us.
The Bon Vivant suite. Yes. Very fancy.
Yeah. So this is located not in a penthouse area. This is part of the normal hotel and costs 11,250 chips. This room is a pretty normal room, apparently, for this hotel. It has two beds in it, and it is not as fancy as the penthouse suite, which is kind of interesting. It's strange that you just win like a normal night in this hotel.
Yeah, it's just like it's kind of a normal looking room. I mean, it's a big room, but it's kind of a normal room. But again, like many things in this hotel, it's actually very clean. Right. And
that's the appeal, really, is that this is a very nice place to go.
So many of the places in this hotel don't look post-apocalyptic. They look like almost new, which it's like maybe the fanciest place in the entire wasteland, which is really cool. It's like a really pristine location. And again, this suite is just like it, like if you want to find a place that would make you feel like you're not living in a post-apocalyptic hell, this is one of those places. Except
you want to win that sweet key.
Yeah, you want to win that sweet key, except for the fact that they're eating children and you might be served human. Or be drinking human soup.
Well, this is what you do, is you go and you're like, sorry, I'm a vegetarian. And then you just try to forget that these are cannibals.
I know, but it's weird. Like, and I guess that's where we should end this. Like, what would you be
Wait. I have one more thing to say about this room.
Okay, one more thing.
Interesting.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, and then you can start doing fun things. I think this is really interesting. Most areas in the game that you unlock or you like earn your way into, right? The idea is that you get in there and then anything that's in the room, like you want it, right? You can kind of scavenge and pick up whatever you want. This room, everything in the room is set as owned. And so you can't take anything. It's all stealing. And so you earn your way into the room and there's things in containers, but you have to steal them. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. No, it becomes a dilemma. But, you know, you're going to steal it anyway. We know.
Right. Yeah.
We
know you. Complicated.
We know you. But that's the thing. Like this is the moral dilemma of the place too. You know, like everything is shiny and new. Like, how would you feel about this? Like, would you be okay giving money to a place that you suspect is being shady and potentially eating human beings? You know, like,
well, I think you could probably suspect that any of these casinos is being shady.
True.
And well, do people outside of the casino really know about the cannibalism, right? Because they've tried so hard to suppress it.
Well, you do hear rumblings. Like even when you first walk into the place, you hear good old Heck complaining about like what happened to his son. There are rumors and rumblings going on, right? There is a little bit of that. I guess the question is, If you were to pick up on some of the rumors, how would you feel? Would you ignore it? Would you just move on with your day? Would you go to a location like this and just feel like it's fine? I could move on. Also, what are you doing in the wasteland that you would have the money to even participate in a casino this luxurious? Like you would have to be a wealthy cattle rancher or something like this. This is like, this is only the most like, are you a raider that has stolen tons of caps in order to then go spend your vacation time at a casino? Like who is staying at these locations? It's not like there are lots of wealthy people out in the wasteland. you know, it's an interesting thing. Like, I don't know who their main target audience is, really.
Mm-mm.
Like, there's not a lot of well-to-dos out there. So
no.
Who is it?
Maybe just people who want to feel like they're living like that.
Yeah, maybe the because prices
it's like
are...
Saying, there aren't really any other spaces in the wasteland where you can experience just a nice, clean space. A nice, clean, put-together space where everyone's fancy and it feels like the old world.
Yeah, like,
you know?
Yeah, drug runners? Yeah. Courier in chat writes, drug runners? Like, who else has the money to spend on this kind of stuff?
Yeah, you'd have to be doing something illegal, or you gotta be
like the top brass of the NCR,
yeah.
Maybe? Like, like there's probably a very small handful of people who can actually afford to go to these kinds of places. Mm-hmm. You know, just a few big winners at the casino who have, like, just gotten super lucky. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question.
Multiple people buy the Bon Vivant suite key.
I think it's limited, right? Like, if you have,
but like,
if I buy it for tonight,
if
then
you have it, I guess it's the only key.
Yeah, it's like renting out a hotel room. Like, it's limited. Yeah. If I have it tonight, then you can't.
I was
you can't buy it for tonight.
A scenario where, like, you show up and someone's already there.
Yeah, so, oh, you just walk in. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. No, that's yeah. Not how hotels rooms
have,
work.
What if you're a very busy wastelander and you're only there for one night and you win, you know, all those chips, and then you, like, go to buy it, but someone else already won it for the day?
Well, then you would
what
just,
do?
You would rent it the next night, or you would have to use your chips for something else.
No, but then
you leave. Yeah, then you'd just
you're a busy wastelander.
Use your chips for other stuff. You buy the long pig.
The long pig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You try out the long pig. Mm-hmm. And the people soup. And you get some people soup and some long pig. Yummy, yummy. Well, I think that does it for this episode. Lainey, do you have anything else you want to share before we head out?
Not really. Nothing new. Nothing in particular. You know, the usual. You can find me on places like Instagram and Twitter and Twitch, I suppose. Someday.
Someday. Yeah, you should
definitely
come back.
The Discord, though.
You should come
kinda
back
say
and
hi to me on the Discord.
Stream some games and, yeah, it's, chat on the Discord. And I'll be streaming again later today. I've got an Elder Scrolls Lorecast episode I've got to catch up on from the other night when I, you know, had a migraine and my brain decided to attack me. So we'll be doing that. That'll be fun. We're talking Dragon Breaks again. We've got more Dragon Break stuff to talk about in Elder Scrolls, which will be super fun. So that'll be happening later this afternoon. We don't have a set time yet, but I'll let you guys know. I'll be tweeting about it and posting on the Discord. So fun stuff there. And I think that's it, friends. Otherwise, tune in on Tuesday night. And if you are a patron or would like to join us, you can always sign up on the Patreon to talk with us and be part of the show on Tuesday night. So we'll see you then. All right, everybody. I think that's it, man. This is it. This is it, guys. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being here. Live chat, Sixer, Courier, Blackhand, everyone else who's in chat who I don't necessarily see their name up on the chat thing right now. Thanks for being here, everybody. We'll see you guys next week. All right, Lainey, thanks for being here. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Also, look up the Robots Radio YouTube for videos about Fallout and other things. And check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/robotsradio.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Looking for an RPG podcast that isn't just D&D?
Roll to Cast is the answer!
No, wait, sorry. What games have we played so far?
Well, we've done Cyberpunk 2020.
What does it mean to have a voice?
And there's going
to
be something big coming, Chumba.
Hey, if you're listening, I won. I beat you. You suck.
There was a time when we were slamming things against our phones and...
Vampire the Masquerade.
Chloe? Sam?
You can't use those words!
He's going to grab Vincent, press him against the wall.
I mesmerize him.
This is Adelaide's Anarch Movement.
First out of your chair, your hand goes to your gun and you draw.
Pulp Cthulhu.
Told you I had it.
Oh, we've all got the creeps going. I love it so much.
All right, there.
Screechy child.
My favorite daughter.
Maybe after what we just seen, we're feeling a bit trigger happy.
And the new Cyberpunk Red.
Babe, you're good.
Good.
Better.
Thought maybe you might be able to give me a counter off.
Dos Fidania.
Straight through his neck.
I don't see bone either, but I'm not gonna look.
My leg's fine.
I always knew you wanted to fly, kid. Come find me.
Roll to Cast.
R-O-L-E.
A new game every season.
Original music.
Original stories.
Interviews with the creators.
And delightful Aussie accents.
Listen to us on all good podcatchers.
Even support us on Patreon for bonus content.
That's Roll to Cast.
R-O-L-E.
Come discover a new world.
Following is a public service announcement from the Starter Set Dungeons & Dragons podcast. This is your D&D campaign. This is the Starter Set podcast.
You know how, like, poison frogs don't lick each other's backs?
So it's Howl's Moving Castle with a face.
Hey there, I'm Great Mandibles.
Because one of the party speaks abyssal. You're all going to die.
And then adventure falls into your lap. Plop.
This is your D&D campaign after listening to the Starter Set podcast. So join Sam and Ed every Friday on the Starter Set podcast for prime Dungeons & Dragons content. Any questions?